This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
A six-year-old boy recently got into trouble for bringing a small toy gun on his school bus. The toy gun was plastic and was not much bigger than a quarter. Yet the bus driver claimed that the tiny toy created a disturbance and traumatized the other children. Because of the school's zero-tolerance policy, the student was assigned detention and forced to write a letter apologizing to the bus driver. The school even considered revoking the six-year-old's bus-riding privileges. Now, it's ridiculous to punish a kindergarten student for carrying a small plastic toy. The toy gun did not endanger anybody, and no one could possibly have mistaken it for a real gun. Sending the boy to detention did not make anybody safer. Instead, it sent a message that the school will punish small children even though they did nothing wrong. Taxpayer dollars should not pay school officials to bully kindergarten students. Punishing students based on the shape of their small plastic toys is really outrageous. But the overreach of school officials does not end there. Earlier this year, a seven-year-old student was suspended from school for 2 days because of the shape of the strawberry tart he was eating. The boy had nibbled away at parts of the pastry, and school officials thought it then resembled a gun. The boy said he did not intend to shape the pastry into the form of a gun. Nevertheless, an assistant principal sent a letter to parents offering counseling to students who may have been traumatized by the pastry in the shape of a gun. In another recent case, a student was suspended for displaying a picture of a gun on his computer. Will school administrators soon ban illustrations of guns in history textbooks? Will they prohibit the word gun? Taxpayer-funded schools should use common sense and stop censoring children.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
What do you need? You need Paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 Paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on Paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black Paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior. It is available at Amazon. He is also the author of The Shadows of and the American Decline. And that was written in 1988, or at least published then. He's also written some other things. And speaking of books, you mentioned just before the break, America's Retreat from Victory, and you were talking about George C. Marshall and what an awful scoundrel he was.
Yes, and both pre and post Pearl Harbor, and we've been talking about pre-Pearl Harbor, so why don't we move to, we're after the top of the hour, we'll move to post-Pearl Harbor and what happened then.
Sure.
There were a number of investigations, and because it wasn't just a matter of declaring war in Japan, Congress and the American public wanted to know why we had had such a disaster. Why was the fleet caught off guard? Thousands of Americans had been killed or wounded. 18 ships, including 8 battleships, were sunk or heavily damaged. And so there was a demand for accountability. So President Roosevelt appointed a commission to investigate Pearl Harbor. It was called the Roberts Commission. It was headed by Owen Roberts, who's a Supreme Court justice, very friendly with Roosevelt. He was a big-time internationalist, made quite a few speeches talking about the need to go to war. So he was not a man who was likely to find too much wrong with Washington's pre-war attitude. Also on the commission was Major General Frank McCoy, who was a close friend of George Marshall. Also Brigadier General Joseph McNarney, who was on Marshall's staff and chosen on Marshall's recommendation. Also, retired Rear Admiral Joseph Reeves, who Roosevelt had given a job in Lend-Lease, and William Stanley, who was the only member, he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't find much fault with him, though, because he seemed to be trying to do an honest job. But the commission conducted 3 weeks of hearings, 2 days in Washington and the rest in Hawaii. And then at the end, they issued an official report. They said that the Washington had conducted itself in a superlative manner prior to Pearl Harbor. They said all the blame was the fault of our commanders in Hawaii, namely the Pacific Fleet Commander, Admiral Husband Kimball, and the Army Commander, General Walter C. Short. It said that they had not been adequately alert, had not taken adequate surveillance measures to protect Pearl Harbor. And before the report was made public, both Stark, the Chief of Naval Operations, and General Marshall were allowed to read it and vet it. It was given to President Roosevelt. And he threw it to his secretary with a smile and said, give that to the papers for their afternoon edition. And all across the country, the words dereliction of duty were blazed on headlines. And members of Congress said these officers should be shot. They started getting death threats in the mail. And everyone in America thought it was the commanders in Pearl Harbor that were responsible for the disaster. Now, as far as surveillance goes, I'd like to point out that they had very limited surveillance capacity. I'm going to quote Kimmel's intelligence officer, Rear Admiral Edward Layton. He said, quote, There was never any hint in any intelligence received by the local command of any Japanese threat to Hawaii. Our air defenses were stripped on orders from the Army Chief himself, that's Marshall. Of the 12 B-17s on the island, only six could be kept in the air by cannibalizing the others for spare parts, unquote, Rear Admiral Layton. They didn't have adequate planes to conduct a 360-degree surveillance, Deanna. But did you know that hundreds of surveillance planes were rolling out of the factories? Do you know where they were going? They're going to Russia and to England and not to our force at Pearl Harbor. Also, here's a message that Kimmel received from Washington on December the 1st about Japan and its movements. Quote, major capital ship strength remains in home waters, as well as the greatest portion of the carriers, unquote. Well, six carriers are a few hundred miles northeast of northwest of Pearl Harbor at this point. But they're giving no hint whatsoever that there's any threat to Pearl Harbor prior to this happening. And none of these intercepts, they don't know that the consul general there is reporting the exact locations of the ships in dock or any of this information that's been decoded or revealed through personal warnings. So Kimmel, in short, protested the Roberts Commission findings because Supreme Court Justice Roberts had run this in a very irregular and informal manner. Now, when Admiral Kimmel went to the hearing, he brought a fellow officer to act as his attorney, and he was denied that right. And Justice Roberts said, wow, this is not a trial. You're not on trial, Admiral, so there won't be any attorneys here. And testimony was taken unsworn and unrecorded, much of it. And so what Kimmel, in short, really wanted was to be court-martialed because, at least in a court-martial, you could present evidence, you could question witnesses, you would operate in a standardized under standardized rules of evidence rather than the personal methods that Roberts had been using in his commission. And so they wanted trials, and Congress wanted trials, too. They wanted these officers punished, but President Roosevelt said that there would be no trials until such time as public, he said, quote, until such time as public interest and safety would permit. Now, a lot of people thought he was trying to cover up for Kimmel and Shore, but no, he didn't want a trial because it would reveal the foreknowledge of Washington of the attack. Well, finally, in 1944, people in Congress were getting upset, and they mandated that the trials took place. They said, well, look, you know, we're winning the war now in both Europe and Asia. This public safety matter will no longer wash an excuse. We want these trials. So in 1944, the Army Pearl Harbor Board and the Navy Court of Inquiry convened to investigate Pearl Harbor. At this point, Kimmel and Short had learned from fellow officers that they'd been betrayed and that Washington had foreknowledge of the attack. So at the Navy Court of Inquiry, as the admirals heard the evidence being read, as they heard the intercepts that Washington had access to, that they kept information that they had kept from Kimmel and Short, the admirals threw their pencils on the floor. They completely exonerated Admiral Kimmel and laid all blame upon Washington. The Army Pearl Harbor Board also was privy to this new information, and they reached the same conclusion. Here are the closing words of the Army Pearl Harbor Board's report. Quote, up to the morning of December the 7th, 1941, everything that the Japanese were planning to do was known to the United States, unquote. Now, that's official, but how do you think the public reacted to this reversal? And the answer is the public didn't react because President Roosevelt ordered that the trial verdicts be quashed and made top secret. And the excuse he gave was that the Japanese, we couldn't let the Japanese know we had decoded their diplomatic messages, which didn't really make a lot of sense because we no longer had diplomatic relations with them anyway. So it's not like we're going to be decoding those messages now. But this would give Roosevelt time to undermine these findings. But I'm sorry, you were about to say something.
Well, it is just absolutely amazing. And, of course, if they had let it be known, they would have probably put it in a very, very small little notice on page 30 in the New York Times or something.
But it would be an impeachable offense, these findings. But as we're going to see, and I know we have a break coming up soon, the reason Roosevelt said we'll let the public know, but not at this time due to reasons of national security. In the meantime, this gave Roosevelt in time to order new investigations that would discredit both the Army Pearl Harbor Board and the Navy Court of Inquiry.
Right.
And to run the army investigation, because you know that President Roosevelt was a 33rd degree Mason. He, the man appointed to run that by Secretary of War Skull and Bone Stimson was Lieutenant Colonel Henry Clausen, a very high-ranking Freemason.
Right.
And on the Navy side, it was technically under an Admiral Kent Hewitt, but all the work was done by Lieutenant Commander John Sonnet. Now, I want to just point out that it was totally unprecedented for a lieutenant colonel and a lieutenant commander to do investigations that would undermine verdicts reached by generals and admirals. Unprecedented in military history, but that's what these men went about. And their goal was to get officers who had testified before the board and the Navy Court of Inquiry to now reverse their testimonies. And after the break, we'll reveal just how they did that.
Amazing. All right, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is James Perloff. And didn't the Short and Kimmel family go to court, like in 1999, or go to Congress and ask that that there be a reversal on the verdict? Or didn't they ask Congress to?
The U.S. Senate, May 25th, 1999, approved a resolution that Kimmel and Short had performed their duties, quote, competently and professionally, unquote. and that our losses at Pearl Harbor were, quote, not the result of dereliction of duty. They were denied the, oh, this is just a quote from Senator William Roth at that time, said they were denied vital intelligence that was available in Washington. Strom Thurmond called them the final victims of Pearl Harbor.
Right.
But to get back to this, the Sonnet and Clausen reinvestigations, what they did was they got officers to reverse their testimonies before the findings became public. So, you have, for example, you have Colonel Rufus Bratton. He had testified before the Army Pearl Harbor Board that on December the 6th, he delivered the first 13 parts of the 14-part Declaration of War to General Marshall through his secretary and to General Garrow, who was in charge of war plans. Now, after all this time, Bratton sees a car in his rearview mirror, and it's Clausen, and Clausen flags him down on a highway in Germany and hands him affidavits from General Marshall, Marshall's secretary, and General Garrow denying that Bratton delivered this message. So
wow.
You're a colonel, right? Now it's your word against the Army Chief of Staff, so what do? He understands what he's being asked to do, and he writes out a new deposition saying he must have been mistaken, he never delivered the message. And this happened to officer after officer, but not all of them would bend. Colonel Otis Sattler of the Army Signal Corps stuck to his guns. Another one, very important witness, was Captain Lawrence Safford. He was the head of the cryptography department of the Navy. He was considered the father of naval intelligence. Congress awarded him the Legion of Merit. He developed more than 20 cryptographic devices, so he was a very eminent man. He was approached by Sonnet, the Navy investigator, and he said, I'll quote Safford, quote, his purpose seemed to be to refute testimony before earlier investigations that was unfavorable to anyone in Washington and to beguile quote-unquote, hostile witnesses into changing their stories. And here's some of the verbal prods that Safford recorded that Sonnet said to him. Quote, it is very doubtful that there ever was a Wynn's message. Quote, it is no reflection on your veracity to change your testimony. Quote, it is no reflection on your mentality to have your memory play tricks after such a long period. Well, Safford stuck to his guns and later before Congress he would testify, but most of the officers were bent and they knew that they would not be promoted. So what happened was when the United States government finally released the findings, they waited until August the 29th, 1945. That was the day that American troops arrived in Japan. All America was celebrating the end of the war. So there's a little, nobody cares that much about Pearl Harbor at this moment, right? So there's a blurb in the paper that says that, oh, the Army Pearl Harbor Board and the Naval Court of Inquiry did find fault with Washington, but subsequent investigations discredited these findings and vindicated the original determination of the Roberts Commission that Kimmel and Short were guilty, and that's what the public was told, and they never found out the truth unless they happened to read some of the books that were written about Pearl Harbor afterwards.
Sure. Oh,
I'd like to mention what I should probably mention that Congress got in on the act. Congress did start an investigation in November of 1945, but the odds were stacked in favor of the Roosevelt administration. Of course, Truman had taken over now, but Truman got to appoint the head of the committee because Congress was dominated by the Democrats, so they got a 6-4 majority on the investigating committee, which meant that only witnesses that the majority wanted to be called would be called. And a number of officers were ordered simply not to testify before Congress. For example, Major Warren Clear, who had warned the War Department about Pearl Harbor, was told not to appear before the committee, so he didn't. Chief Warrant Officer Ralph Briggs, who had intercepted the Wynn's message, which had warned of war, was told by his commanding officer not to testify. Alwin Kramer was the head of the translation section of the Navy Department. He was actually thrown into the psychiatric ward of Bethesda Naval Hospital, same place where Joe McCarthy and James Moore Forrestal met their end, to keep him from testifying before Congress. And finally, the Republicans found out about it. They got him out because he was so intimidated before Congress. He basically just gave a very wavering testimony, yes and no, on whether or not he'd seen the intercepts. But in the end, of course, all the Democrats stuck to the party, and they were able to compromise one or two of the Republicans to join them. So the public was simply told that, you know, the Pearl Harbor Committee had vindicated the Roberts Commission and that President Roosevelt had been exonerated. But I want to talk about the promotions that went to people who were willing to play ball. Lieutenant Colonel Clausen became the sovereign grand commander of the Scottish Rite in the Southern Jurisdiction.
Oh,
he became the head of Freemasonry in America, the same position Albert Pike held. Admiral Stanley, who was on the Roberts Commission, became ambassador to Russia. Rear Admiral Reeves was on the Roberts Commission. 5 months after the commission handed his report, he was promoted, even though he was retired, he was promoted to full admiral by President Roosevelt, allegedly for his services during the Spanish-American War. Get that. Brigadier General McNaughton was promoted to lieutenant general, which is a big step up, and he was made general of U.S. occupation forces in Germany. General Gerald was made commander of the 15th Army. Walter Bettel Smith, who had participated in the cover-up on Marshall's staff, was made ambassador to Russia and also head of the CIA. Marshall, of course, became Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, and Cordell Hull got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow. But so everybody got promoted, and Short and Kimmel got scapegoated. Oh, gosh.
And all the men who testified on their behalf, Colonel Bratton, Colonel Sattler, Captain Safford, and Lieutenant Commander Kramer never went anywhere. They never got a promotion. They got no ambassadorships. Well, you know, Jesus said that, you know, they have the reward in this lifetime, right? Well, just to follow up, I'd like to mention that this is definitely is part of a pattern throughout our history. And it's interesting when we discuss Pearl Harbor. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Before 9/11, just 1 year, September 2000, the project for a new American century, which had, you know, Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz and all the usual CFR Zionist types on it, that a paper called Rebuilding America's Defenses, and it called for increased U.S. military presence in the Middle East. They said, quote, "The transformation is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor," unquote. And this has been interesting too, Diana. I was asked to review this movie when it came out. May 2001, Disney, which in recent years has been not noted for its patriotism, May 2001, just 4 months before 9/11, Disney released the movie Pearl Harbor with Ben Affleck. Very patriotic, war-rousing film that, of course, presented the standard version and showed President Roosevelt as being completely surprised by the attack, despite all the information that is available. And speaking of that information, I think at this point we should probably talk about resources that are available on this.
Sure. And that I didn't realize that Disney put that movie out.
Yeah. Well, isn't it amazing how Hollywood does this stuff? The way they time it. You ever see the movie The Four Feathers, the British movie about the guy is accused of cowardice and then he redeemed himself? The Four Feathers?
No.
The kind of classic British movie. Well, anyway, it came out in 1939. I never thought it was a coincidence that they made that film right when Britain was about to go to war. I never really thought it was a coincidence that, may not have been a coincidence that Gone with the Wind came out in 1939 on the doorstep of World War II, because, you know, there was, I think, a feeling that a lot of Southerners wouldn't want to fight under the American flag, and maybe that's why right on the doorstep of World War One, you had, what was that film with D.W. Griffith, Birth of a Nation, very pro-Southern,
yes.
And they wanted to get the Southern boys to want to fight under the American flag again. Right at the beginning of each World War, you had these major films coming out, so I have to think that it may be coincidence, but
I don't believe in
too many coincidences. They happen, but not that often.
Exactly. All righty. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and you'll give us some of those that documentation. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from strikehardgear.com.
Strike what?
Strikehardgear.com.
Set your sights on strikehardgear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is James Perloff, and he is talking about Pearl Harbor and the aftermath and what some of the people that were sacrificed and then some of the people that were promoted and got very lofty positions. And that's just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it is now. Okay.
That's right. You and I don't win the Pulitzer Prizes or, win the National Radio Awards. We'll keep on fighting for what's true and what's honest and what's right. Well, I was going to mention resources for people to find out more. I start with my own book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, because the book begins, the first chapter is called Six Wars, and it deals with the false flags that brought us into six different wars, starting with Pearl Harbor. I have also written several articles for the New American on Pearl Harbor. And if you just Google Perloff and Pearl Harbor, those articles should pop up. The most significant one from 2001 was called Pearl Harbor, Hawaii was surprised, Washington was not. But to get away from myself, some books I would recommend would be Infamy by John Toland, Pulitzer Prize winner, which reveals most of these same facts. Robert Stennett's book, Day of the Deceit, which focuses on the naval intercepts. And if people would like to watch something on YouTube, in the 1980s, the BBC mentioned that, I mentioned before, this documentary, Sacrifice at Pearl Harbor. You can watch that in full on YouTube. There are some other excellent books that appeared over the years. In 1947, George Morgenstern, who was a Chicago Tribune reporter, published a very thorough book called Pearl Harbor. And even though he didn't have access to some of the testimonies I've given, his summary of the facts was very thorough. Also, Rear Admiral Robert Theobald wrote the book The Final Secret of Pearl Harbor, published in 1954. He was in Pearl Harbor on that day commanding destroyers. And, of course, Admiral Kimmel himself told his story in his book Admiral Kimmel's Story. And those all of them, those books are available one way or another through used bookstores, or many of them are still in print, such as Day of Deceit and Infamy. But I should mention something here, talking about alternative media. It's interesting, I find, that Admiral Kimmel, to tell his story of Pearl Harbor, had to go to the same small publishing house that Rear Admiral Theobald had to go to. That was the Devon Adair House in Connecticut. Isn't it interesting? You think, you know, the mass media would just be itching to big publishers. One, here's the guy who was the commander at Pearl Harbor, right? Commander-in-chief of the Pacific Fleet. Wouldn't the Doubleday and the big publishers take it? No. He had to go to a small publishing house. His book did not become a book of the month selection, you know. He didn't get reviews. So people, by and large, didn't know that these books were even out there, but they're out there. But people have to look. You know, they say, the Bible says, knock and you shall ask. Well, sometimes that's true for understanding history. You have to look. Because the mass media, CNN, the New York Times, are not going to hand it. You have to look beyond for the truth. It's interesting that in every era, whether it's World War One or World War Two, there are men like Captain Safford and Admiral Kimmel who stood up for the truth and told the truth. You just have to look for it. It is out there.
Right. There's another book that I recently read called Bankrupting the Enemy by Edward S. Miller. And it talks about how what the government, the U.S. government, did to Japan. A very detailed book, how they attempted to really bankrupt them so that they would respond in the way that they want, that the U.S. government wanted them to respond. We do have a bunch of callers. Why don't we take some calls?
Absolutely.
All righty. Let's take Wes in Idaho. Wes, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna. Pretty good line there, live bait tactic. For the guest, did he have an explanation as to why the Japanese didn't hit the fuel tanks or the dry docks?
Yeah, it was a mistake. If they'd been better in their planning, they would have hit the fuel tanks. Because they didn't, Pearl Harbor still had a good fuel supply, and ships were still able to operate out of there. But had they hit the fuel tanks, instead they concentrated more on the glory of attacking the battleships. But they could have planned it better. But it was just a strategic mistake on their part.
Good. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Wes. All right. Let's take Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just came in towards the end when you were talking about Project for a New American Century and with 9/11, and the thing was, I wanted to get in real quick. Have you, either one of you, looked into predictive programming in 9/11?
Meaning things in the media that forecast 9/11 before it happened?
Yes, yes.
I've never done that in an organized way. We were just commenting on the fact that Disney released Pearl Harbor just a few months before 9/11 and right after the Project for the New American Century called for a new Pearl Harbor, and it seemed to correlate. But have you done some investigation that has shown other things that predicted 9/11?
Yes. You can just YouTube this stuff, and then you can, like, Google image this stuff. But anyway, let's say Terminator 2, they're going under a tunnel, caution, 9/11. Neo's passport in The Matrix, Keanu Reeves' character, his passport expires, 9/11, 2001. There's a bunch of these occurrences all throughout Hollywood predicting 9/11. You can watch some YouTube videos. Just type in 9/11 predictive programming, and it'll blow you away. I mean, it's statistically impossible for this to have occurred. So I would encourage all the listeners and both of you guys to get into this. It will blow your mind. So I'm going to go ahead and hang up, though.
All righty. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks very much. I hadn't heard of that. You know, Dan, and one reason I'm not alert to a lot of things Hollywood does these days, I just can't stand the movies coming out of Hollywood.
I hardly ever go to the movie. Yeah, it's just so much garbage and sex and violence and, trash. All righty, let's take Dan in Oregon. Dan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for accepting the call, and I really have just the one question for James. The personal lives of the victims of the Pearl Harbor, that is the admirals and the captains and so forth that were hit by the system, if you will. How did they handle their personal lives after Pearl Harbor? I mean, did they become alcoholics? They went crazy or whatever? I could never figure out how they coped with handling being, you know, trampled. That's the end of my question.
I don't have that much information on it. I know that Captain Safford, the father of cryptography in the Navy Department, spent much of his life trying to prove the truth of Pearl Harbor. And I read, and this is not a quote, it's just a generalization about his wife. I think it was said to him, Pearl Harbor, I never want to hear another word about Pearl Harbor. So I think that his wife felt that he'd become obsessed with it, and he probably had some marital strain as a result of that. I think that those men who stuck up for the truth probably understood that their own personal honor and their commitment to integrity was more important than promotion. If they had not, they would have reversed their testimonies and played ball. So I think that most of these men, they probably suffered in terms of finance and position, but I think in terms of their personal self-satisfaction and that they had done the right thing, they were okay with it. I know that they said that Admiral Kimmel was a fighter to the end, and of course his family supported him all the way, and he fought for many years to prove the truth. So I think that having the ambition to do the right thing and tell the truth probably gave these men a great will in terms of survival, as opposed to, I've never heard of anyone descending into alcoholism, but I haven't really investigated a lot of these minor officers and what happened in their post-war lives.
All righty. Right. I would think that would be such a difficult thing to live with, particularly since the newspaper just so vilified them.
Right.
And how do you have a personal life when everybody around you thinks that you're a villain? I mean, that's how do you deal with that? That would be very, very hard to do. But apparently they had the integrity and the stamina to continue to fight, as you say.
It's very difficult. And I should mention that even the Republican senators who are in their minority on the Congressional Investigating Committee that began in 1945, they were tarred and feathered in the newspapers as being pro-Nazi, pro-Japanese, trying to soil the reputation of the late President Roosevelt. Very difficult. But you know what? I think that kind of attack is easier to deal with, I would think more easy to deal with than the guilt of knowing of the orphans and widows that you had left behind if you were General Marshall. So I think that kind of pressure is not as bad as the pressure of guilt and really sin that was committed by these high officials who had foreknowledge of the attack and would not share it. I should mention another anecdote maybe that we didn't cover today. If you watch that documentary, The Sacrifice at Pearl Harbor, you'll find it documented elsewhere as well. Cordell Hull met with an old member of the...
Hold that thought, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system, an everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Our infrastructure is failing and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
We are back with our guest today, James Perloff. And, Jim, you were going to talk about the sacrifice at Pearl Harbor, and then we have a couple more callers online.
Okay. Well, I'll try to be quick. One thing I should just mention before the show runs out, we'll have an article on Pearl Harbor at Henry Mako's site, you know, M-A-K-O-W. I write from him time to time. It'll be just an abbreviated version. But that article, which will appear on his website tomorrow around noontime, should be tomorrow or maybe the next day at the latest, we'll have hyperlinks to these various resources that I've been talking about. But just to continue with the story, Secretary of State Cordell Hull met secretly on a park bench shortly before Pearl Harbor with a newspaper man named Joseph Lieb. He'd worked in the FDR administration, and Hull thought he could trust him. And he showed him some of the Japanese intercepts, and he said, please try to get this into the hands of the newspapers. Maybe the attack can be converted because his heart was not in it. But he said, keep my name out of it. You can't reveal where you got these. So Joseph Lieb ran to the office of Lyle Wilson, his friend, who is the Washington Bureau Chief of United Press, UPI, right? And Lyle Wilson just looked at him and just laughed, and he said the whole story was ridiculous. And after Pearl Harbor, Lyle Wilson called Joseph Lieb back to his office, and he showed him Roosevelt's Day of Infamy speech, and the two men just wept. It was too late, and there was nothing they could do about it. But you will see Joseph Lieb interviewed in that same BBC documentary, Sacrifice at Pearl Harbor.
All righty. Thank you. Let's take Jerry in Chicago. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, both of you. I just wanted to find out one or two things. Were you on Rick Adams' show like maybe 8-9 months ago discussing the same thing?
No, I wish I was. I'm always eager to go on new shows. If Rick Adams will invite me on, I'd love to go on.
Okay, because somebody was, I think it was the grandson of, what was the guy's name that was in charge of the Pacific Fleet over there
Kimmel,
in Pearl
the Kimmel,
Harbor?
Probably the Kimmel family, yes. The Kimmel family has been fighting for the exoneration of Admiral Kimmel for a long time.
Okay, then that was the show I heard. Hey, I happen to have my local congressman, my district congressman, Dan Lipinski, is going to be speaking at a VFW hall in Oak Lawn here in December 10th. And I wanted to go in there and just ask him one or two questions, because it seems to me like all of these wars, 30 years, 50 years in the future, we find out that, oh, it was a mistake, like the USS Mannix in 1964 in Vietnam, the USS Liberty. Well, that didn't. Yeah, you know, the same thing with Pearl Harbor, and the same thing with the sinking of Lusitania, the War of 1812 with the USS Maine, all of this stuff. It seems that later on, 9/11 and weapons of mass destruction, it goes on and on and on.
That's why people don't get too excited when they hear about chemical weapons in Syria, because we've heard this story so many times, and so many times the story we were told up front turned out not to be true.
Yeah, but again, we have 450 people that are running this country speaking for 318 million, and they're just not listening to what the people are saying, and they're going ahead and doing their dastardly deeds anyway.
That's right, because they've got the major media on their side, they've got the microphone, and thus are able to influence and sway the majority of public opinion. But Deanna and I are hoping that the factor of truth will weigh in the balance greater than the factor of money, which they have on their side.
Well, I agree with you, but like I said, I'm looking for a stumper that I can ask Lipinski that these other veterans that are going to be there, I'm sure, because it's a VFW hall, and I didn't serve, so I really have no right in being there, but I just want to stump him with a question to where everybody will be questioning, hey, yeah, answer his question, more or less.
Yeah, well, the questions you raised about the fact that after the fact we learn about the Maine, the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, and Tonkin Gulf, and 9/11, just presenting those and say, well, what does that say about America and how we're being run would be a very good question to put to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You two have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All righty, let's take Fred in Michigan. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. And
hi.
James, the last caller said he doesn't really have a right to be at VFW. Well,
everybody has a right to ask the congresspeople some questions. Absolutely.
And not only that, I would encourage him, if the spirit moves him to do this, locally find a radio station or public access through the local Comcast and establish a broadcast program for veterans, concerns, and we can integrate everything into that format a program, just like you do. Okay, so James Forrestal, what shall we say, the mysterious murder of James Forrestal. And if you could, Jim, there's a paradox that's most perplexing to me. My buddy ACH, in his book Synagogue of Satan, chronicles the fact that Uncle Adolf had extricated all of the satanic, Talmudic, Zionist gangsters from the government and began printing Germany's national currency et cetera, I'm supposed to believe that the Wall Street gangster banksters through Brown Brothers Harriman, Prescott Bush, you know, Rockefeller, funded Hitler's, quote, war machine. I find it perplexing that Uncle Adolf would bring back in Jewish gangster banksters to fund his government operations when he just got rid of them all.
I mean, well, that's a good point, but we are talking about Pearl Harbor. Do you have something, you know, about
yeah,
Pearl
Harbor?
Yeah,
well, James Forrestal, wasn't he the Secretary of
Secretary of Defense.
Okay, and after the war, wasn't he murdered?
He died under very suspicious circumstances. He fell from a window on the 16th floor of Bethesda Naval Hospital on May the 22nd, 1949. On the Internet, there's material on that. There was also a book published in 1966 by Cornell Simpson called The Death of James Forrestal. And he had come very much in conflict with the Truman administration's policies, become very critical of them. And his death was called a suicide officially, but many people think that it was his criticism of American foreign policy and his revulsion at what was happening that led to his death.
And didn't the newspaper really make him look very foolish because of his questioning and his skepticism?
Oh, they tried to look up paranoia, sure.
Right,
the usual
yeah.
smear job.
Right.
And then there was another guy, Olson, wasn't there? That was after Forrestal, but there was another guy, Olson. I don't know if he was...
I think that there was the name Olson does somehow link into the Forrestal's death, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, Israeli Mossad CIA operations, I'm sure, as it is to this very day with 9/11 and everything like that. So the new Pearl Harbor, well, you know, what can I say?
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you
so
much, Ren.
It is a continuum.
Right. Yes, he did bring up that book, The New Pearl Harbor, which it certainly was. 9/11 was certainly another Pearl Harbor.
Right. And again, the book that I have out, Dan, I should mention, Truth is the Lonely Warrior, does begin. It starts out on its first pages, of course, as you know, with Pearl Harbor. The first chapter is devoted to false flags, but through about 30 chapters and appendices, it draws the very relatively, as best as I could do, a complete picture of the whole satanic establishment that we've been talking about to try to give people a full picture. And that book is, by the way, available both now in Kindle and paperbound and can also be had through your local bookstore. Again, it's Truth is a Lonely Warrior.
Indeed. Well, thank you so very much for compiling all this information about Pearl Harbor. It is an interesting study, and certainly people should know about it. And I think, too, people say, well, why drag the past up? Why go back? Why? But it's imperative that people do this, don't you think?
The past is so relevant. It's been said so many times wisely that if we don't learn from history's mistakes, we'll repeat them. And we've repeated history's mistakes over and over again because we didn't learn. That's why we need to keep bringing the past to people's attention.
Exactly. And you do a really good job at that. I sure appreciate it.
And
very
I
sure
appreciate your letting me on to air these facts. And I just want to thank you so much, Deanna. You have a fantastic guest. I've seen your guest list. And anybody listening to your show is going to come out really well informed.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wish you were the anchor woman on CNN.
I'm not sure I'll get the job any minute. All righty, take care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.